every year, just about, we welcome to the Radio Cafe monks from the Drepung Losaling Monastery in India. And this year I'd like to welcome back Gala Rinpoche and Sonam Dorji. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thank you for having us here.
You were here 3 years ago.
Yes, I was here in 2010 and 11.
Yeah, okay. Yes. And every year the monks do a sand mandala at Surrett and Sons, which is made, which is a long process that we can talk about, and then destroyed.
Yes.
What is a mandala, both literally and then symbolically?
Literally, it's a Buddhist sacred art which is supposed to use mainly to purify the environment and personal healings. And also, literally, it means sender and sounding, which means it's a mention of the deity or palace of the deity where the sender resides, the principal deity, and sounded by its retinue deities. And then it is also the guide map for our spiritual journey. It is like GPS of our spiritual journey.
A GPS of your spiritual journey.
Why? Because it contains the entire Buddhist teaching which lead us to enlightenment.
Now, each mandala has a different pattern in it.
Yes, yes.
But they all contain this kind of narrative of
yes,
that path.
It's like every different deity has their own specific special connection. Like they have, we have thousands of different Buddhas. So, of course, each Buddha has their own mandala. And then specifically, here we are creating those are, we selected from those among the thousand we selected which are more relevant to today's needs, like healing Buddha, compassion Buddha, wisdom Buddha. So every has their own meaning and a different approach to the enlightenment and the healing.
Now, when we think of the Buddha, we think of a specific person who lived.
Uh-huh.
When you say there are thousands of Buddhas, mm-hmm. are they specific people who also lived?
Actually, a Buddha means awakening one, which means enlightened, which it's a common name for all the enlightened Buddhas. Well, then if we choose one specific Buddha, like Shakyamuni Buddha, is the fourth Buddha from the thousand Buddha, which we believe that it's, they came thousand Buddhas to liberate the sentient being, suffering sentient being. So this is the time of the fourth Buddha called Shakyamuni Buddha. So Buddhas literally means it's an awakening one, and then which can refer to any awakening in beings.
Any awakening.
Yeah, yes, right.
Why are there so many?
Yeah, because in Buddhist belief, every individual or every sentient being can enlighten, because every sentient being has the Buddha nature or seed of Buddha. So if we walk hard and follow the path, we can. Everybody can, you and me, including you and me, can enlighten ourselves. So those enlightened persons are called Buddhas.
Every sentient being includes snails and dogs.
Oh, everybody, including snail, the smallest animal to the biggest animal. Maybe they have a different form, like human form, animal form, or the spirit world. But inside, the consciousness has the same fundamental nature that is called Buddha nature, which can nourish an awakening from the confusion state.
The awakening from the confusion state, is that something that you have to work very hard for? Is that something that can just happen to somebody on a day they wake up?
Oh, no, it cannot happen just, you know, no way. It cannot be happen out of blue, because everyone have to walk. The idea of enlightenment is not just you will pray and born in the heaven and having a mystical figure. It is more about ordinary person or ordinary beings of a fundamental Buddha nature, pure, aberrant, present mind was deluded with the different afflicted emotions. And once we try, purify this through cultivation of the good quality or positive energy and purify the negative energy, then we can refine this pure mind. And after you have finished a complete purification, then your mind is free from all the afflicted emotion and its negative imprint. That state of mind is called enlightened state. So that means we need to follow different approach or different method which Buddha has taught 2500 years ago, and follow the step and then get enlightened.
Now, there are so many different religions on this planet, yeah. And so many of them teach love and compassion. Peace and tranquility.
Yes. Yes.
Are they all paths to enlightenment?
I'm not sure about others. I cannot say anything on their behalf and their beliefs. But as far as the Buddhists, yeah, definitely. We believe and we have countless of enlightened beings in past. And still we can see this great master who have enlightened from the present state of mind, like His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and we can see a lot of great sentient beings in the form of the human body, but their minds are extraordinary.
So when you do a sound mandala, you've explained to some extent the symbolism of it. Why is it then on the last day swept up?
Yeah, that is a part of the process. It's a part of the process. Every sand painting begins with the creation or opening ceremony, creation of the opening ceremony, and concludes with the dismantling ceremony, or we swept away. Yeah, this is very unique, and especially at the conclusion, we swept away to symbolize the impermanence of all conditioned things. And that is one of the most profound teaching in Buddhism, to remind ourselves or to be aware about our way of living. You know, most of us, we are not conscious or not aware about our life patterns, especially physical forms. It is impermanent. It comes with the expiry date. So all the phenomena comes with the expiry date. Sometimes it's a hard time to see the changes and see the impermanent condition. Then we get really upset, including our death. So the concept here to swept the end of the creation is to remind us the impermanence, and including our death, so that we can, you know, now better start now to deal with those unpleasant states, especially, you know. So this is most important part of the creation of Sun Mandala.
In Buddhist teachings, is there such thing as a destiny? A child is born for a particular destiny?
Yeah, the destiny means it's here. We cannot literally interpret it the same like what other tradition believe. Here, destiny means you have done something negative or positive in your past life. You have done some action in your past life. So the result you are experiencing, which you cannot avoid, it's bound to happen because of the action was so strong and condition was present there. Once the condition and cause are there, nobody can stop, including Buddha himself. So that is called, I think, from my understanding, the destiny in the Buddhist belief, that is called destiny.
And so some people, for example...
Yeah. You can see the physical challenge people who are born in that way. And even the advanced medical facility can't do anything change. Even the we do healings or these rituals to help them, they can also fix this. This is their destiny, we call, because they have done some negative karma in past life. So they have to experience the result in this life, no matter how they try to change or this. So that is called destiny.
What about, I've been looking at things like mafias and drug cartels and things that seem to be the closest thing to pure evil that we have on Earth because of the violence and killing that they do without even thinking about it.
Right.
How do you understand that from a Buddhist perspective?
That was because of also due to the afflictive emotion. Their mind was corrupted and their mind was deluded with the strong negative emotions like hatred. And first, there's a greedies, and number one, foundation and root of all this is the ignorance. Ignorance lead to make them greedy for build up of desire, and then it also lead hatred for each others. So these killings are because of the hatred to overcome other party caste or other gangs, then they kill with the ignorance. They don't understand the consequences of their actions.
And what about their victims?
Oh, victims. Of course, they have, and from Buddhist point of view, victims may have created the same negative action in past life. So there are sometimes, you know, you don't need a reason, but somebody, some gangs of just shoot you and kill there. So that is means you have created some negative action in your past life, and that is you have to experience in this life.
Now, all of those people who are living in those kinds of subcultures of tremendous negativity,
mm-hmm.
they never go to meditation retreats.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they don't have any these chances, means, you know.
So what's the way out?
So in the Buddhist point of view, it is, of course, it's a set. No, we can't change unless they open themselves. That we say, that's why in Buddhist, every conclusion of prayer, we do the dedication. Dedication that may all the sentient being has a privilege to meet the right path and right condition to repent themselves to the enlightened state. And also we pray for all the sentient being. Their purpose is to bond those sentient beings who suffer. This is a gross form of suffering. But there are so many subtler suffering that we, even the human being, can't think about, like hell realms, hungry ghost realms, and spirit world. And also, worst cases, you know, every day people are suffering from different emotions like hatred and stress, depression. They kill themselves. So, you know, there's so many, you know. So this is just to pray. As far as one individual can do, can stop this, can change, unless it's like Buddha or Dalai Lama, like they give a big teaching or big message to wake them up from the ignorance.
Now, we're talking to Gala Rinpoche, and Sonam Dorji is the chant master who is accompanying the group this year. And tell us a little bit about the Tibetan chant. Maybe we'll get to hear a little bit.
Yeah. So I think maybe Sonam can chant a little bit, then I will be explaining what is the chanting mean. That is a short chanting. He chant the compassion mantra, compassion, universal compassion mantra. Then dedication for the world peace.
What were the words that...
The words is a mantra, mantra of compassion Buddha. Mantra of compassion Buddha chant in the courts.
So he's saying,
Om
may all beings...
Mani Padme Hum. It's actually the Om Mani Padme means this is six syllable words, which has a meaning. It's condensed entire Buddhist teaching. Yes.
And so this weekend, there's a few days left during which the mandala is being created, and people can go to Surrett & Sons here in Santa Fe on Friday and Saturday from 10 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon. And there is meditation and chanting from 4:30 to 5. Mm-hmm. On Friday and Saturday, today and tomorrow, people can go and just sit and take it in.
And experience the meditation.
And then the closing ceremony is on Sunday at 2 o'clock. What happens then?
So the closing ceremony, usually monks do the closing ceremony by chanting and doing meditation. It takes 30 to 25 minutes. and then do a swept the mandala and collect the sand and half we share with the audience. And we Buddhists believe, since it was built with a lot of meditation, concentration, and contemplation, it's got a healing property which can benefit individuals and the globally. So we share them with the audience. And then the most important was we share this through some form of water which carry the energy into our great ocean, where they can benefit countless of living beings. And then through the evaporation, it can spread the entire energy to the globe, world. So that is a procedure and how we do the closing ceremony.
So all of this is happening this coming weekend, again at Surrett and Sons, which is on 121 Sandoval Street. It's next to Alpine Sports, on Friday and Saturday from 10 to 5, and the closing ceremony on Sunday at 2 o'clock. And Gala Rinpoche and Sonam Dorji are from the Drepung Losaling Monastery in India, although you're also doing work in Atlanta.
Yes.
What's happening there?
So in Atlanta, we have a branch monastery of Drepung Losaling, where we have a big institution with excellent top scholars from our monastery, geishas. They have three geishas who are intensively giving a Buddhist intensive course on meditation, Buddhist philosophy. So we have we are based in Atlanta, and we have a center and institution where we can teach Buddhist meditation and philosophy.
And so there's both a Tibetan community and an American community that's participating.
Right, yes. So anybody who would like to learn, they can come to Atlanta and take a course from our center.
Well, I want to thank you both very much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having us here. Thank you.